This is Gaten the Mecha, the weekly anime and manga show where we take things one step further. I analyze everything from arcs to OPs to episodes in my wacky but enjoyable quest to make sense of all of it. Welcome back to Gaten the Mecha. I'm your host Jamal today and I present to you Gaten the Mecha Season 1 Second Cut. This is the second half of season 1, so I just wanted to give it a bit of a demarcation. And so in today's episode, episode 51 of Gaten the Mecha, I am in fact looking at the anime Rolling Girls, or I'm attempting to try and understand it and deliberate my thoughts on it in this episode. In this episode, I do want to discuss my thoughts on this anime, and also what it brought up in regards to other conversations when it comes to anime and manga. Mainly the idea of premises, and what really is a premise, or more specifically, what is a good premise. I also want to talk about how this anime falls down in my personal opinion, and also how it is, in my, again, personal opinion, a good production. So let's not waste any more time for this week. Thank you for tuning in. If you do enjoy this episode, feel free to leave it a review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts or wherever you do get your podcasts regularly. And so here is the episode for this week. That is episode 51 of the show. A look at the anime Rolling Girls. As always, the way I start this episode is by giving you some alerts in case there are spoilers and things like that to look out for. And for this review, unlike a lot of episodes in Gaten the Mecha, I will not actually be giving you such a spoiler warning. In fact, I'm going to say that this will contain minimal to no spoilers at all. The attempt of this episode isn't really to deliberate on the plot and every single element of it and what I found specifically good and what I found specifically bad, but if anything, just give you my overall analysis of the show and what I think this raises when we look at anime. So just to repeat, that will be a non-spoiler warning, so there shouldn't be any spoilers in this episode, of which I am reviewing the show Rolling Girls. And so let's move right on. Here is a plot summary for the anime Rolling Girls. In a future version of Japan, where the political system has crumbled after the Great Tokyo War, Japan has now been split into these gang groups, run by people known as bests. These quote-unquote bests have immense amounts of power, in contrast to their non-powered counterparts known as rests. Our main character Nozomi can be classified as one of these rests, and aims to help out her friend Masami, who is also known as Macha Green, in these gang activities because of the fact that she is a best. When Macha Green gets injured quite badly in one of these fights, Nozomi sees this as an opportunity to help out her friend by taking requests that she once usually would as a best. And so Rolling Girls follows the journey of Nozomi as well as her friends Yukina, Ai, and Chiaya as they travel Japan by motorcycle. Rolling Girls is in fact a story about conflict resolution, friendship, and self-discovery. And so that is a short summary of this anime, and I don't want to say that this is a deceptive plot summary because I would be in fact saying that I didn't give you guys misinformation basically, but based on my arguments in relation to it, I do think that sadly, this plot summary doesn't meet the expectations of the anime in my personal opinion. If anything, I'd say the plot summary is rather oversimplified because the anime, again in my personal opinion, does a bit too much or attempts to do too much beyond this basis or premise. And so what is my overall critique? The critique which will probably inform the majority of my argument against this anime. And that is that I believe that Rolling Girls attempts to do too many things. I've never really viewed ambition as a bad thing in art. In previous podcasts, I've spoken about how I think ambition is an amazing thing for art. Art needs to be pushed by doing the almost unacceptable, or what is deemed by art at the moment as unacceptable. I fully believe that and I still stand by that. But I also do believe, now in context Rolling Girls, I do believe that there is an ability to make a show convoluted by experimenting too much and trying to push and intentionally add so many elements into a show or an anime or a piece of art. And there's only so much you can do until this becomes alienating to an audience member, or alienating, or just even just really distracting for me. And that is really what I felt throughout the show. Often this concept of ambition within art and anime is seen as the polar opposite of simplicity. I feel as if there is often within art and anime, the simplistic side is potentially viewed by some as a battle shonen and the cute girls doing cute things genre and harem anime. And then we go to the completely other side, which is, and I only mean this for joking's sake, do not take this seriously, but when we think of shows like Monster or NGE, or so many other shows which are full of these, or are assumed to be full of these philosophies and profound notions, I feel like that is the left, almost the equivalent of the left and right wing of anime. Although I don't necessarily believe that, so scrap that model. But often these are seen as these left and right wing or polar opposites. But I wouldn't say that's necessarily the case. I think Rolling Girls on the micro scale, so episode per episode, is very easy to keep up with. If you were to watch one episode randomly of Rolling Girls, I think it would be quite easy to understand. The episodes are quite simple, and this main concept is to get these hearts, which will become or will potentially transform these characters into bests so they can fulfill what they need to do for Macha Green, our quote-unquote main character, who is now put on the side or on bed rest because she's been injured. And so on the almost micro scale, I think that these episodes work very well. These episodes are quite well directed, in my personal opinion. They flow quite nicely from one element to another. I don't feel very confused in that sense. But when we think holistically or almost on a macro level, I just can't really keep up with it. I think that's because it simply doesn't gel together, and I'll go into what I mean exactly by gelling. What I would say doesn't quote-unquote gel together are these multiple plot points which are introduced throughout the show. Just to highlight the show structurally, it's basically done almost in these parts of two. I wouldn't call them arcs per se, but they definitely have almost two episodes usually per almost part of the plot, and then they move on to another one with a different almost world or different scenario. And that basically goes on for the majority of the show, including the beginning, which I think is at its best. Some plot points I would say underpin the narrative quite successfully. That is probably the main one, which is carried through throughout the entire show. It feels cohesive, we understand what they are doing. However, this is convoluted by these other elements which are interspliced within. Some of this being the initial premise, which is the injury. This is interspliced out at the worst possible moments, at times even forgotten. Well, it feels as if it's forgotten, that would be more appropriate. It feels as if it's forgotten at times, and then it's interspliced in later, when we've mostly kind of almost moved on from that basic premise. And then we have almost a third group of these types of plot points. I'll say one of them, which I will not say for the sake of spoilers and avoiding this, and that is this gradual plot point, which almost infiltrates the narrative slowly, and we're given clues about it, and eventually it becomes a big thing, and it becomes almost the priority of the narrative for a second. But I think, if anything, it's all of these merging together which just makes it very distracting in regards to writing. I would prefer, most likely, not necessarily the almost battle shonen model of I must focus on one thing because that is everything I need to get me to one location. I think it's perfectly fine to write in multiple plot points. If anything, that is probably, I'd say, one of the maybe cornerstones to complexity in narrative, having multiple elements converge and diverge together. But I still agree with the fact that simplicity can still be done very well. A simple narrative with simple plot points which don't get in the way of each other and distract one from one another allows us to focus a bit more on and enjoy more of what we love, which is the main premise, the main thing which was teased from the very beginning. I think a great example, or almost theoretical for the sake of no spoilers, I'd say one of the biggest examples of this is how one of these plot points manages to almost infiltrate the entirety of the narrative and almost distract us from, it becomes almost an endgame, that's what I should say. It manages to distract us from what is the core of it, and so I'd like to think of it almost like a function machine. It begins with something. It begins with a glowing premise and amazing presentation of that premise. And then we come out the other end and it's churned and changed and twisted into something else. And I feel as if I got a very different product at the end, which I really was not expecting. I think, though, if I am to use this function machine example, it is very appropriate that I define what came in at the beginning of the function machine, what came in to be so distorted as it came out. Maybe distorted is a stretch of a word, but at least not necessarily what I expected or what I thought would be a lot better for the show. And what was that at the beginning? That was the initial duality between these two characters and the duality between these gangs, including Marsha Green. This is partially going to bleed into what I like about this show, but it is also sadly what I think was changed so much and what was escaped from, which I think was probably what attracted me to this show so much, and that is the initial premise. That is the initial presentation of this premise, to be more specific. This will be a bit of an almost explainer or just a brief lowdown of the beginning of the series, the very start of the show. So I don't know if that can necessarily be considered spoilers, but if you do not want to hear that, feel free to skip forward. The foundation which the show lays out is this amazingly factional world. When I think of Rolling Girls often, I think of it as this weird combination between, I don't know, I haven't seen the show so I'm not going to try and make a big deal out of it, but something like K-On! Or just a lot of harem anime, which I watch, although there is no harem involved in this show, but something like that in combination with Kill la Kill, again, not based on its fan service and those elements, but this world which you are almost forced to accept, or you just take it on and it's given to you. In the case of Kill la Kill, it's this hierarchical school structure, and in the case of Rolling Girls, it's this really exciting factional world which is run by teens and adolescents. Again, this rolls into, excuse my pun, but this rolls into what I also like about the show, and that is this amazingly competitive environment between these teens and between these bests. You feel this rivalry and you believe it's something to extend forward, however it's only teased, or it's only brought forward for about 2 episodes, and it's in fact teased to have this amazing backstory which is never really covered again. And that, I think, is, some would call it, and I've even read some manga reviews, some would call it bait. I don't know if it's bait, because I think they wanted to transform this into something else and make this a journey of self-discovery for Nozomi and these other characters. But in the process, I think it loses what was so amazing about it. It loses an amazing setup, which I think, if anything, the creators managed to undermine, or they didn't really see the potential in it moving forward. The initial duality between characters such as Marsha Green and Kuniko, who is her conquered rival, and it even dates back even further in the show according to these beginning episodes, that duality was probably one of the most exhilarating experiences I've experienced in a while. It was one which was based on acceptance, and in terms of, you don't have a massive backstory behind them or anything. You can just sense it within it, not only just from a written perspective, but also on a technical level as well, and I'll get into some of the animators behind this series. But this was a rivalry, if I go back to writing, which almost transcended physical combat and this physical antagonism between one another. If anything, it was one which we didn't know about per se, but it rooted back a lot further, and you can just feel that tension throughout the show, or at least throughout these first 2 episodes. I think the twist for this is justified, but I would just go on and reiterate that I do think that potentially this was just not being able to acknowledge the potential in this very promising plot point. We have an amazing start to a show. Not because I don't think Rolling Girls promises a lot, I don't think that's the case. If anything, it appears promising because it has such a brilliant opening which you think will have this amazing setup, but to be frank, you can just call it wasted potential, arguably. I think that plot point, if anything, was downtrodden. It could have been probably one of the most exciting things I've seen in a while because of the fact that it managed to build up something so strong in the space of 2 episodes. Not many shows are able to do this very well, I would say. But we are able to get a very quick view of these characters and very quick understanding through these very exciting moments. The action doesn't stop throughout most of these 2 episodes. If anything, it's non-stop, and I don't want to say that, again, there was no justification for this switch in the narrative and what becomes most of the main narrative, which is Nozomi's story. That is perfectly fine. But I think if you are to do that, you should acknowledge that there will be a trade-off between the setup which you've initially crafted, or potential setup, or what is now a false setup which you've potentially crafted, and then what you continue to go forward with. And so I kind of want to end my quote-unquote critique with a bit of a thinking point, and that is that I believe that Rolling Girls got me thinking a bit more about premises as a concept within anime. Obviously, that meaning fiction. But I think I've kind of concluded with myself that I think that premises aren't that important. When I thought about this, kind of when I write these podcasts or when I write my notes for these, I'm just laying on my bed. I was trying to really think about this. What is a premise? And the premise is the basis for a show. It's the almost unsaid base. It's the arguable unpresented base. If anything, and this isn't a fact, but if anything, think of it as the synopsis. It's what underpins the show without it actually presenting anything to you, whereas the show itself is its example of presentation. But what my point is, despite my shoddy example, is that I think it's very hard to say what a quote-unquote good premise is, and I don't just mean that along the lines of everything is subjective, although it is. I just think it's very hard for me to judge what is a good premise versus a bad one, because in reality, I think almost any premise can work. What really is a bad layout for a show? To be honest, I think it's really on how it is presented, which is everything, and how this, and it's this audiovisual presentation which should try to convince you that this is a good premise, if anything. This is a good narrative and foundation for a great show. Presentation when it comes to anime and art and media is everything, to be fair. On the micro scale, it's everything from editing to shot compositions, literally how one transitions from one shot to another, which is all part of this audio-visual presentation, or at least in the case of editing, the visual presentation, storyboarding and direction for each episode, each frame, each shot. And then on the larger scale, if we think of this to say a multi-season show, it's the transition from one season to another, it's the transition from one episode to another. It's the transition between one aspect ratio to another, for example. Very bad reference to episode 48 of the podcast. But in order to convince one to believe that this is a show worth watching and this is a very well thought out premise, I think it's very essential that one proves that this is possible and one is able to present that this premise, if anything, is possible and worth investing into. This is kind of a thing I've thought about, but it's quite obvious when you think of it, really. But if anything, it's the premise that has to be presented. That is what is being asked of us to buy into, potentially, by watching an anime or watching a TV show. Rolling Girls starts by doing this very well. Initially, from the get-go, if anything, it doesn't waste any time doing this, although I don't think time is the very essential part of the matter here. But it manages to do this very quickly and in a very good and exciting way, which really engaged me from the start. But as the show progresses, it manages to dwindle away from this slowly. It dwindles away from what was so great and what was so exciting about it. And so if anything, by episode, I was becoming less and less convinced that this show was able to hold down its premise and convince me that it was one worth watching. So that is most of my almost narrative critique done, although I did say that early in this episode I do have some positives and I do want to deliberate those to you guys, and that is primarily within its production values and who is behind and what actually this produced. Who are the people who really made this anime shine for me as an animation fan? And so just to give a bit of context, Rolling Girls is an original production by Wit Studio, well known generally across the community for its strong production values. And from what I understand of it, Wit Studio does seem to be a bit of a smaller team. I do believe they also have freelancers as well, but you often see similar regulars on the Wit Studio team. I would say that there is a bit of a Wit Studio dream team which is going on, mostly because this present has been made probably because of their work on Attack on Titan and the level of consistency and value which they bring to every scene seems to be very consistent. We also see this in the likes of Cabaneri and the Iron Fortress as well, and potentially even Vinland Saga. But the Wit dream team, in my opinion, this is highly subjective. We have Yukino Kosaka, we have Yasuyuki Ibarra, we have Takuma Ibisu, and we also have, arguably, the ace of Attack on Titan, Arafumi Imai. Also a prominent animator on this work who isn't necessarily what I would call a Wit Studio regular is Tomohiro Shinoda, and Shinoda does some really good work, which I will discuss. I'd say Tomohiro Shinoda and Arafumi Imai have been the standout animators for me on this work. And I would love to talk about all of them, but for the sake of time constraints and not making this episode an entire animation-themed episode, I'll just go into detail about Shinoda, who I probably won't talk about much in the future based on the fact that I don't really come across their work so often, especially if I'm looking at weird studio work, unlike if I was to look at someone like Yukina Kosaka, who I already did look at in a previous Attack on Titan episode. What I think Shinoda performs best at is this very expressive character acting. It's the ability to build up this rivalry and duality between our best characters. I'd say this comes almost right from the get-go in the opening episode, which is the noodle scene. Although I won't be going into that, it's this almost competitive sort of feeling between these two characters. And what is really interesting about Shinoda is that he has all these sort of idiosyncrasies, if you want to call it that. All these very small movements, such as these eye flicks when the noodles or the soup from the noodles manages to flick into one of their eyes. And even when they finish, they have this very exaggerated eye flickery expression on their faces. We also get these small head bobbing movements at the same time, these eye jitters. He's also able to switch very quick to these very exaggerated faces, which almost contrast the much more detailed perspective which he has on the characters. So I'd say that that's just a lot of control over who and what he's animating. And then there's Arafumi Emai, the arguable ace of Attack on Titan in the first three seasons, which were done by Wit Studio. He also has that amazing one cut in Vinland Saga, just to flex that for a bit. But I think Emai's strength generally as an animator for me, not only just in Vinland Saga or in Attack on Titan, and not even just in Rolling Girls, but as a whole, I think Arafumi Emai is at his best when he has the ability to use mirrors. The movement is seen to be almost stretched out because of the fact that it's this almost after image of said movement. And in the case of Emai, I think he is good at, as I've also said, opening the show with these amazing smears within his fighting Sakugo animations, with the intention of creating this notion of strength, that these characters are strong and fierce, and that is mostly done for the best Kuniko. I think what's amazing about Arafumi Emai is that he's able to almost go crazy with it within this show, unlike Attack on Titan, which has a bit more seriousness to it. But because of the wacky nature of this show and how, well, on occasion wacky, but at least in its opening, he isn't afraid to go crazy with the smears. We have these amazing punches which go in and are smeared to almost the maximum extent. And so I'd say those are almost my two favorite staff. I think they are all amazing, and this isn't really a competition per se to say that these staff are better than others. But I would say that these two staff really embody what I loved about Rolling Girls from the very beginning, and that is this hyper-competitive, insanely emotive feeling which I got from the show. It was very in your face, but also very fun and somber at the same time. I didn't mention that necessarily in terms of its animations because I want to talk about the more exciting bits, but I would say that it's able to be somber at times, but it's also able to be very exciting and bold, which I really loved about its opening animation. They're really able to bring out the potential of this very premise and the potential of this base, which is Bests and Rests and this amazingly cool system, which is this future Japan. But sadly, on the written or narrative level, this isn't necessarily followed through. However, I would say that there is a positive as well which comes out of this, and this is a bit more of a personal one. I would say that Rolling Girls most definitely lives up to it being a fun and arguably cute show. Rolling Girls, and I'm just going to go into a mini anecdote, Rolling Girls was an anime which I watched only a few weeks ago, you know, with the pandemic going on and with lockdown and everything going on in the world right now. Sometimes I would want some time alone, and Rolling Girls would be the anime which I had alone time with. I would watch this show at 2 a.m. at night in front of the TV in the dark when everyone's asleep, and I had fun with it, not necessarily just in its first episodes, but throughout. It was just a nice chilling way to enjoy myself, and I did watch it in the mornings as well, but I think at the night and in the night, that was when I had the most fun with it. Even though I was lost a lot of the time as to what was going on, partially my fault, but also partially, I would say, the way the show was structured, it was still a nice and relaxed show regardless. I'd say there's often this blind criticism towards the quote-unquote cute girls doing cute things, and I want to call it a sub-sub-genre because I don't think it would really fit a sub-genre per se in anime, but at least within that almost sub-sub-genre or micro-genre, It's often looked down at, it's seen as art that doesn't really do much, and people that criticize it turn into these people that almost view art as this, you can't simply just watch it and have fun, what is this? This is nothing. You can't sit back casually and pleasure yourself with such boring art, and no, I don't think that's the case. Excuse me for my poor acting there, but I would say that I think that the point is that it works as an escape, and that is probably the best thing about this show. It is what I watch anime for, weirdly enough, although I know I just criticized it for a very long time, but I watch anime for an escape. I think anime is a great escape, and it's been my favorite form of escapism which I've found within all of media so far. The show isn't required to have this profound element or component to it. And if anything, I like that it doesn't necessarily try and delve into the profound. I did say that there are many elements to it, but one of them isn't attempting to bring this large and grand sort of philosophy or message to it. If anything, it's just have fun with the people you know and enjoy yourself. And I am very happy that it stops there in terms of its message and didn't go further, because that was what I enjoyed about it. And so that is the analysis for this week. But now let's briefly go to the indie moment segment. I haven't done this one in a while. Let's go to the indie moment segment to briefly talk about one show which I have been watching this week. If you are new to Get in the Mecha, the Indie Moment segment is probably the most basic anime podcast segment out there. It is essentially me just talking about for 5 or 10 minutes what I have been watching or reading this week, usually just one show, one manga, etc. This week and also most of last week, I have been doing a big focus upon Garden of Sinners. I've recently taken the initiative, or I've intended to watch shows from studios which I haven't really watched much of their work from. I did try that with Rolling Girls and with Studio, although that's kind of for different reasons, because it's constantly been recommended to me on the Mal page because they don't change their recommended videos or top videos section anyway. Mostly I've been doing this, or I've been carrying out this activity for Kyoto Animation and Ufotable, and Ufotable is one which I've been focusing on a lot quite recently. I'm considering, and it's been in my mind for a long time, considering watching Fate Stay Night and Zero, but for now I'm watching Kara no Kyokai or Garden of Sinners, and I'm trying, or I'm making the effort, to finish Kimetsu no Yaiba. Garden of Sinners, I would say, is a very interesting piece of work, mostly because it feels very mysterious. It's an achronological narrative. It is very dark, I would say. Maybe not the traditional sense of dark per se, but there's a definite element of darkness to it. It tries to portray life kind of as it is, in terms of it being brutal, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily buy fully into that because of the magical element or the potential, almost supernatural element of Kara no Kyokai. At the moment, I'm on movie 6. I just finished movie 6 today, and so that means I have one more film left, which I'm very scared to watch because this is the conclusion to a previous film which basically wraps up the entire series as well as wraps up that mini arc within the entire movie series as well. That's called Murder Speculation. And I'm scared, most definitely, but the one thing I have to say about this series is its production values are top notch, and I've been constantly impressed, particularly by a lot of its stuff. That is animators all the way from Go Kimura, a very prominent animator within Kimetsu no Yaiba, all the way to Tetsuya Takeuchi, one of the star animators of Sword Art Online. We have other animators like Kunihiro, there are so many of them, and so many good Ufotable staffers which I'm learning about throughout this journey through Garden of Sinners, and it's really opened my eyes up to the potential of the studio and the praise which it's given. I think it's, and recently, because of recent animation news on how you had the Ufotable tax case, as well as many other cases in regards to Gainax, Studio 4C, and recently Studio Trigger. Again, this is all when this is being recorded, talking about their practices, and I don't think worshipping a studio is healthy at all, but I think it is good to praise their work. However, be healthily skeptical of the practices which are used to create this sort of anime. But most definitely, I am very happy to see, not only, there aren't only Ufotable staffers on this work, because I don't believe Takeuchi is a regular at Ufotable, but most definitely there is a great attempt to produce a worthwhile experience for the viewer, and I managed to witness that for myself in movie 6 today, as well as movie 5. I shouldn't really discount any of the films, but overall I would say it's a monumental production to be making 7 films all connected together somehow, and yet have this level of consistency. I think it's a very big feat which should be celebrated. So that is the In The Moment segment for this week. Very short one, but I do want to try and keep these quite brief, but also give you what my thoughts on things as well. And now let's go to closing thoughts to just briefly summarize my opinions on Rolling Girls, and then we can close the show. I think you most likely understand my opinion of Rolling Girls, but if you didn't, here is a brief summary of what I think of the show. I think Rolling Girls as an anime, on an individual scale in regards to its episodes, I think is very competent. It manages to compose each episode quite well. I most of the time understand what's going on. They're not very complex to understand. But as an entire narrative, I think it manages to lose its gel. Its gel being the initial thing which prompted this entire narrative, as well as just losing some flow between episode to episode. What I love about Rolling Girls is Rolling Girls as a production. Rolling Girls, I think, is a very good and very well animated piece of work, which I would recommend anyone who likes animation should check out. I also just think that Rolling Girls as a whole is a very relaxing show. If you are looking to relax and watch anime for the sake of watching anime, I would say that this is a good one to watch. Rolling Girls is fun, but it is also messy in my opinion, but if you're willing to accept its messiness, I think it can be a good time. Thank you for listening to episode 51 of Guess in the Mecha. That has been a nice episode. Thank you for listening. I did enjoy looking at Rolling Girls and even watching it at times. I'm not going to make it as if I hated Rolling Girls, because I didn't. This isn't an attempt to quote-unquote slander the show or make a scathing criticism of it, but I do think that it's a shame that the show couldn't do what I would have loved it to do, which is carried on what it initially established, which was an amazing, competitive, and very exciting world which it once established. But it is what it is, and I still did enjoy the show. I did, and I rarely talk about my ratings on the podcast anyway, but I did rate it rather low on my anime list. But regardless, I think it's the thought that counts, and I do still appreciate the work regardless. But thank you for listening to the show. If you did enjoy it, feel free to leave a review, whether that's on Apple Podcasts, wherever you do get your podcasts, that'd be greatly appreciated. Helps others find the show as well. So that's it. Have a great week, month, day, or whatever you're doing, just have a good one. I have been your host, Jamal, today, and this has been Guess in the Mecha. The music in this production goes as follows. 8-Bit Title Screen by Joth. Mandatory Overtime by Joth, Different by Chasers Gaming, and Frozen in Time by Alex McCulloch.